appreciate you this morning. Love you very much. I want to say thanks so very much for inviting us out here. I'm glad to meet each one of you. And I thank God for Brother Rutledge, and thank God that he let me come to his church and preach. Glad that you asked me to come. Praise the Lord. I don't know Brother Randall Rutledge all that well, but I thank God for the times that I have seen him. I saw him at the conference and talked to him one time, a year or two ago, something give or take like that. And then here, I've known his father, had him preach in my church at Three Oaks, Michigan. That really is the name of the town. It does sound goofy. Three Oaks. but there is such a place, and there's a good church there. We started that church many, many years ago. And so I'm so very glad to be here. And thanks for everything. Thanks for everything that you've done. Every song, amen, and everything you've done or said. I'm going to preach a little while this morning to you. I may not be the longest-winded preacher you ever heard. Well, it's a matter of opinion. One time I only testified. This happened at Christmas time at our church. Talking about being long-winded. And I know good and well that I didn't talk for 5 minutes. And one woman said, well, if you preach a sermon, as long as you just testify, I wouldn't want to be here. So it must have been pretty long. She wasn't a member of my church, though. And so it's a matter of opinion. But open your Bibles this morning. Teaching is a lot different than preaching. And so this morning I may not be the most active preacher that you've ever seen. And I may not be as dramatic as a lot of preachers that you've seen. We'll do our level best this morning with a thought for a little while. Hope it'll bless your soul. And I hope it'll do you some good. Praise the Lord. I'll try to talk into this better. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, the very last chapter. It's the sixth chapter of Galatians. Is everybody happy this morning? Are you happy? You look happy. No use in asking you. You're well fed, obviously. And we all are. And thank God, I know you have a good pastor. And I know you're well fed in the Spirit of God. So, all right. 6:17. We'll start with 6th chapter and the 16th verse. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Yes. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I used to read this verse. And I would read it a lot of times, and I'd wonder, Lord, how on earth would a man ever get a sermon out of that? And there may not be in there this morning, but we're going to try to see what we can do with this thought. And taking the 17th verse, Paul said, as he wrote to the Galatians, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Everybody knows what a mark is. There's in the world today, everything is done by writing marks. Think of signs, symbols, characters, everything that you can name this morning. There's a mark that goes with it. There's trademarks, there's copyright marks, there's every kind of a mark. Paul said here, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had certain marks on him, not that was put on him. But as he went about preaching, living for God, walking with God, in the years, being beaten, we'll talk about that later on, but to establish the idea that I'm trying to put across. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody has a mark. Now, we're not talking about the mark of the beast or anything of that nature, but everyone has a mark about you. If someone knows you by the way you walk, someone knows the sound of your voice.
Right.
Someone knows the way you fix your hair.
Amen.
There's something about you that makes you different than all others. There's a mark about you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Everybody has something that distinguishes them or characterizes them.
Yes.
And Paul said like this, I bear in my body, in my physical body.
Yes.
I bear in my body. My back, for I was beaten. The scars, for he was beat many times. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And up where we live in the Detroit area, which, don't get me wrong, I'm certainly not glamorizing Detroit because it's not the most greatest place on earth to live. It's too big for me, for one thing. But up around Detroit, brother, do you ever see the sign? Every highway has a certain sign. It may say Highway 66, Highway 395, 495, 295, 95. But there will be a sign as you go down that road. It's going to tell you where you're going. Praise the Lord. There will be something that will tell you where you are. 14 miles from, I suppose, I don't know just where, Detroit or 14 miles from Providence. Or there's signs wherever you go. And I went down Van Dyke up in Detroit, and I was driving down the street, and I came to a great big factory in Detroit, and out where we live in north of Detroit, in Utica and Washington and Shelby Township out in that area. You come out that way, or you go anywhere around there. Come to great factories. Factories that are so big, nearly you can get lost in them. And I was driving down there 12 mile in Van Dyke one day, and I looked on my right, and I saw, and it said, Fisher Body. I want to put across the idea of a sign and a mark. And so I looked, and it says Fisher Body. And they had a sign there. Oh, it was, I suppose, as long as you hear the wall and high. And a fancy painted sign. And it had a carriage on there. It had a funny-looking, everybody's seen covered wagons and I suppose you've seen funny-looking vehicles, and it had an old-fashioned carriage, and it had gold, and the wheels looked like they were gold, and it said Fisher Body, and they wanted you to know by the mark that was the Fisher Body Company. It goes on Chevrolet cars, and then one day, I wanted to swap off my poor old Chevrolet. And it went wobbling down the road one day for its last time. And it needed so much help to go. And so we went down. I'm talking about a mark for a minute. There's marks on everything. Go out and look on a car. And it may say Chrysler. And it might have a funny looking star thing on it. And I went down the road and I was going to buy a Chevrolet car. And some way we didn't make the right connections. There wasn't the right attitude of the salesman. He didn't have the marks of aggressiveness. We want to see a car, and he just sits there. So I figured, well, by your attitude, you're not worth selling a car. So we walked out and discussed. We was going to buy a Chevrolet, and we had bought one for him, but he was too lazy to get up and try to sell a car. And, brother, I'll tell you something now. It takes a little bit of energy to preach the gospel. It takes some energy to sell a car. If you're going to put the church of God over, it takes some energy. It takes some effort. And so we went on down the road. This man didn't get up. He said, well, go take a look out back. And I knew that's no way to sell a car. You want to sell something? Get up and go ahead and show them. Tell them about it. Sell them on it. Get them interested. Give them a mark. Give them a price. I'll do better. You know, but no. And so we went on down the road. And we saw a big sign, and it says Crest. And right beneath it, you guessed it, it had a fancy word that was like that, and it said Ford, F-O-R-D, just so. And they wanted you to know the name was Ford. There was a big mark up there. And so it attracted us. I never looked at it closely. And it said Ford. There was somebody that sold Fords.
Yes.
There was someone that made them. They wanted you to know there was a Ford car. I've got something in mind in a minute. Praise the Lord. And then one day, everything's got a mark on it.
Yes.
You may not know it. There's a mark about you. The way you walk. Someone can tell something about you the way you walk. Praise the Lord. In my church. I can tell. I hope I've got some other scriptures that will be more juicy in just a little while. But let me fiddle around here and work on you for a minute. Everything has a mark. Praise the Lord. I can tell, believe it or not, Brother Rutledge, really, I've seen this work. I watch things come walking into my church. We have a church not a whole lot bigger than yours. And we have possibly 40, 50 adult people and some children. We don't have a whole lot of children. Not really any more children than what you have here this morning in our whole church. And I can watch people walk in my church. And I can, we have double doors, glass double doors. No, it's a Methodist church that we bought. And it's a beautiful church. And glass doors in the vestibule. And then you double doors open here. And you come on in the church. And sometimes I'll be setting up on the pulpit. And I can, you may not believe this, but I can tell a lot about people by the way they come into church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There's a mark about you. When you get up on Sunday morning, and thank God, you wash your beautiful face. You want it to look as good as you can get it to look. And a man will shave his face, and he'll try to make it as good as it can get. That may not be mine, not never very good. But I want it to be as good as I can do. And there's a mark about you. There is something about you. You do something that makes you a little bit different. And I watch people walk into my church. And I see Sister Judy. I'll pick on Sister Judy Smith. And I see her come out in the church. And brother, there's only one Judy Smith in our church. And she'll come into the church and, oh, Lord God, when she's at church, everybody knows she's at church. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank God. I'm glad to be here. Praise the Lord, Brother Hamill. And she will just come always nearly an hour before church. I have to go early to meet them. And it's been that way for about 20 years. And I say, oh, please God, keep it that way. Oh, thank God there is something about enthusiasm when you come bouncing into the house of God prayed up. You don't have to pray for 30 minutes after you get there. You're prayed up before you come. You're pumped up. You're spirited up. Thank God you're ready to go. You have the
energy.
Hope I'm not screaming too loud all the time. Thank God. And you're ready to go. You don't have to work around for 35 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour to get pumped up. You come pumped up in the Spirit of God and ready to worship God. There's a mark about you.
Yes. Praise God.
And then I'll watch her husband, Shelby. He'll come in. And here is a workhorse. He's a workhorse. He would rather work than any man that I've ever seen in my life. And Shelby will come in, and I'll watch him come in the door. Always he comes in just saying, I know what he's going to do when he walks in. He comes in, and he's a nice guy. And he's just as saved as Judy, but altogether different. And he will come in, and he will get his coat. He wants to look just so. And he will go and take his coat off, and he will hang it up just so. Everything he does is just so. He's not proud, and I don't mean that at all, but had an awful time getting him to get the Holy Ghost. I thought the guy never would get the Holy Ghost. Because when he'd go to the altar, Brother Rutley, almost he would put a handkerchief on the floor. I thought he was going to put a handkerchief on the floor. He didn't want to get his trousers unpressed. And he didn't want to get dust on his trousers. And I watched the guy. He'd get down to the altar. And this really, there's a mark about people. You can tell what's up. And 2 years he sought for the Holy Ghost. I didn't know why he wasn't getting the Holy Ghost. I mean, if there's some reason you ought to get the Holy Ghost, if you seek God, God's going to give you the Spirit of God. And I wonder why you didn't get the Holy Ghost. And one day at church, after 2 long years and wearing my lungs out, my voice out, and everybody wore everybody else out of the church, for 2 years he wore us out. Amen to God. He wore us out. You almost got tired of praying with me because you'd have to pray for about 3 hours. And he never would get the Holy Ghost. You wondered why. And then one day, I was watching this man. And I saw Brother Shelby come to the altar. And I saw him get down before God. Just so. And I watched him as he was praying. Just so. And he would really do like this. Just everything was just so. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, tell him to stop doing that. And I watched him, and I thought, God, I'm so tired of praying with this guy to get the Holy Ghost. What am I going to do? 2 years gone by now. 2 years. And Judy was saying what she had the Holy Ghost 2 years before him. Of course, she was going to get the Holy Ghost or tear the place down. Now she's the kind of a girl to go in, oh, God, I want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. And she's going to get the Holy Ghost or tear the place down. Now, I mean, she's just going to get the Holy Ghost. And so she was sitting on the seat right here. And she was watching Brother Shelby. Thank you, Lord. He was so nice and polite to God. And he said, thank you, Lord. God, I love you so very much. Thank you, God. And the Lord told me, you tell him what I'm going to tell you. Lord, that scared me to death. And I figured if I'd say that to Shelby Smith, he'd get up and leave and never come back, is what I figured. I said, God, if I tell him that, he'll leave and never come back. And the Lord said, you tell him what I tell you. And I went down there. And I said, Brother Shelby, you've got too nice a spirit. God told me to tell him, you've got too nice a spirit. You need to let God have his way. And he looked up at me, and he said like this, Brother Arnold, I'll do anything you tell me to do. And that, brother, that his attitude changed. And I laid my hands on him, and I rebuked that. I really just rebuked that spirit that he had. And you'll never know what happened. He was down on his real nice knees. And he come before I knew what God can give you the Holy Ghost just like that. And he jumped up from his knees and he jumped nearly to the ceiling, straight up in the air. And when he come down, before he hit the ground, he was talking in tongues. God gave him the Holy Ghost right there. But there are marks about a person. And I've seen people, really and truly, Brother Rutledge, I watch these people and other saints of God, and like you people this morning,
You come into the house of God enthused and energetic and all pumped up in the Spirit of God, and you come bouncing into the church, ready to clap your hands, ready to sing, ready to shout, and God might even bless you, ready to talk in tongues, ready to go.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so, but on the other hand, one time I was pastoring a church, pretty good sized church, in Escanaba, Michigan, way up in Michigan. There is a mark about people. I came to the place, if I would really try to discern, I can watch people walk in the church and just about tell you how much victory that they have. And one day, there was this young woman in my church, and a beautiful girl. And we loved her. Everybody loved her. She's about 16, 17 years old, been saved most of her life. And there came a day when she got cold in the Spirit of God. And one time I was sitting up on the pulpit, not watching anything in particular, but something the Holy Ghost prompted me. Watch this girl for just a minute. And I watched her come into church. And her smile was gone. Her enthusiasm was gone. And she comes slogging into church. Comes dragging into church. And out of the corner of my eye, didn't care to look at the girl, but just some way, I said, you know how in the back of your mind, something rings a bell. Something is different. Something is changed. Something is missing. And pretty soon, the girl backslid, and she was gone. There was a lack of something. She lost some mark of God. She lost something out of her life. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me preach to you this morning. I have seen, go with me for a minute to the book of Acts. I want to show you this. I'd like to run this thought on through for a few minutes. Paul said like this, brethren, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something about Paul. Here comes Paul. I can tell the way that the guy is walking. Seeing three, four blocks down the wall, sidewalk. Here comes Paul. How do you know it's him? I can tell by his face. I can tell by the way that he walks. I can tell the hat that he wears. I can tell the suit that he... Well, that's Brother Rutledge coming. There is something about you. There is something about Brother Wall. There is something about you that distinguishes you from all others. And Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. Now, all right, getting down to the very nitty-gritty of this thing. And Saul, yet bringing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and the synagogues. If he found of any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And right here, saints of God, as Paul, I read in ancient history, and I've heard people say, as they studied about Paul, they said that after Paul, something happened in his life, a dreadful thing happened to Paul. And he joined himself to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish body of elders in Jerusalem. And he became, then when Christianity started, and the wonderful people of God didn't go to the Jewish synagogue anymore. And they left it. And they went into the Christian church that started on the day of Pentecost. Paul didn't like it. He looked upon it as heresy. He looked upon them as traitors to the Jewish cause. And he hated them. And it is said, now I can't prove this, but it is said that Paul had a big Jewish face. Now, don't get mad at me for saying this. It is said that he had a very prominent, wide Jewish face. And that Paul was a rather large man. And someone said, forget about the word Saul or Paul meaning small. There's millions of Jews, and they're not all small either. And it said that Paul was a pretty big man with a large, bony face. And they said that when Paul would come after the early saints, and he had those letters in his hand before he got saved now. We're talking about him before he got the Holy Ghost. And they said his face was a mask of hate. And the saints trembled when they saw. They said, Paul is coming. Oh, he's filled with hate. He threw the saints of God at Jerusalem. They're in jail. He beat them. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death. He's a mean man. And they said that his face was a mask of hate. But oh, wait. Something happened. Oh, thank God. And as he journeyed, listen, let me preach to you, God can bring you to a place where he will change your life.
Yes, he can.
God can give you a different look.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God can give you a different attitude.
Yes.
He can give you a different way to go in life. And it says as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Oh, he can say like this, though Jesus only, though Jesus named saints, I'll soon have them rounded up and I'll throw them into jail. But suddenly, as there's a light to shine round about him from heaven.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the Bible says here, he got up from there. And when he got up, thank God, not only was he converted, I said converted.
Yes.
I didn't say saved. I said converted. His ideas changed halfway around. And God sent him on down there to the street called Straight in Damascus. And he got the Holy Ghost. He got saved when he got baptized in Jesus Christ.
Right.
He got saved when he got the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But his idea was changed on the road.
Yes.
Amen. And the Bible says, he was blinded. He said, the son, I was blinded. And then they prayed for him, and scales fell off. Hallelujah. Listen, he may have had good eyes, but God nearly let him go blind.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
There's a mark on him.
Yes.
Paul nearly went blind, and he was blind for some days. And I think that it left a mark on him. There are certain things that God will do to you that can leave a mark on you. He got up and he stopped someone to lead him. And they took him on to the street called Straight in Damascus. And God healed him. And mostly healed his eyes, but he didn't altogether heal his eyes. Because he said, oh, a long time later, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You should not obey the truth. He said, I bear you witness that if it had been possible, you'd have pulled out your own eyes and have given them unto me. That's how I know that his eyes still bothered him.
Yes.
And anyway, after that, Paul was beaten. I read where Paul was beaten. He got up from there, and when he made an encounter with Christ, it changed his life. It put a new attitude in him. It put a new color, nearly color, in his face, thank God. It put a new mark on him. Now then, instead of him coming with a mask of hate, he come, give me another place to preach.
Yeah.
Amen. And they stoned him nearly to death down at Troas.
True.
Hallelujah. Today, Paul was preaching at Troas. Let me work on this just for a second here. Paul preaching down there, and they didn't like him. And they threw rocks at him. And possibly they split his head open. And maybe one rock just put a gash in his head. They stoned him. They thought they killed him. And they probably kicked him over out of the road and into the ditch. And oh, hallelujah, the love of God shows up here. Paul once would have got up and would have attacked them. There may have been a time when he got up out of the ditch, he didn't say, give me a lawyer. I'll sue him, I'll sue him, I'll sue him. He didn't do that. Hallelujah to God. But he had a different spirit. he had a different attitude. Thank God he got up out of the ditch and began, they wiped the blood off. And they took some band-aids and they began to patch him up a little bit. Go preach. Thank God and wipe the blood away. Go and wash his face off a little bit. And he said, give me another pulpit. I want to preach. I bear in my body the marks of Christ.
Praise God.
I read here something that that really it gets to me as I read this about Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians, if you'd care to turn there for just a minute, turn to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter instead. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. And Paul said in the 23rd verse, 11:23, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. Oh, and one time he said, oh, you talk about marks. We're talking about Paul said, I bear in my body marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are spiritual marks, and there's also some physical marks. Let's talk about physical marks for just a minute. Paul was saying like this. He said, five times, mind you, I was beaten 40 stripes. Save one. In other words, 39. And they would almost kill you. You're dealing with Romans. And you're dealing with cruelty. Brother, you don't have no civil rights. You don't have no civil laws back there. You don't have any constitutional rights back there. And the Romans did not have state troopers or cops or anything like that. And when you did something they didn't like, or they really didn't too much care if you was a Jew, and five times they would tie Paul's hands up like this and beat him across the back with a cat of nine tails. And sometimes the leather thongs about like this on the end of a long rod and little pieces of lead or bone. And sometimes they would hit you so hard that it would jerk flesh off. And sometimes you could see a man's ribs. And Paul said, five times I was beaten. 40 stripes saved one.
Yeah.
Now let me show you something. In when he was talking to Timothy or Titus there, whichever it was, I believe it was Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 4:13, there is a clue to this. He said, the cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. There's a real reason why he said, bring that heavy overcoat, a big, thick thing. And he said like this, when and the books, but especially the parchment. Oh, he said, Brother Rutledge, especially bring the parchments. Parchments, big scrolls like this. And he could take those big parchments. Remember I told you on the road to Damascus, he was stricken to the ground. And when he got up, he couldn't see. And two or three days later, the Lord let scales fall off of his eyes. All right, and so he was probably very badly sighted. And today we'd say he needs glasses real badly. All right, and Paul, I'll prove it to you. And Paul was at Troas. And he said to Timothy, long about the time when he was going to be killed as a martyr, probably about AD 64 now, in the Herodian public fire of Rome and under Nero. And he said, he's in jail now. And Paul is in prison when he writes this to Timothy. And he said, when you come, bring the cloak. It was a big woven all the way through. And it was heavy wool. And Paul could put it on him down in the cold prison. And he could keep warm that way. But that didn't bother him so much. He said, listen, Timothy, when you come down from Carpus place, bring those scrolls. He said, down in this dungeon, he said, I can't read. It's dark down here. There's not even hardly candlelight. But thank God, maybe in the morning, when the sun was coming up, Brother Rutledge, maybe he said, after I get those scrolls, I want to read the Bible. Oh, I want to read God's Word. I there's a desire in me. I want to study the Bible. I want to read God. Oh, Timothy, if I could read. If someone, one of the saints, just come and read to me in the pen, in prison. And he said, bring those parchments with you when you come. He said, I'll endure the cold. I'll put up with that. But I'd like to have the cloak also pulled down this Roman dungeon. And oh, thank God. And possibly Timothy brought the parchments. And this great, great old man of God, his eyes were going out bad on him. And maybe he had to squint his eyes to see. But he could squint his eyes, and the sun was coming up. And he could take the parchment and go over to the Roman window, and the sun would shine on it. And he could jump up and down. I can read the Bible. I can read the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God.
There's a reason why everything is in the Bible. There's a reason why these things. We've never realized the reality of the Word of God. But the Word of God is really real.
All right.
Yes.
How come you want the cloak? Timothy said, Paul, how come you want the cloak? That big heavy cloak like that, like a big big quilt. Sleeves in it, but more like a big woolen quilt. How come? Well, he might have said, Timothy, I'm getting old now. And my blood is thin, and I don't feel good anymore. And he said, you know, I never told you before. This is sort of paraphrasing for just a minute, Elder Rutledge. But Paul might have said, Timothy, you know, when they beat me. And he said, remember, they beat me 5 times. The bones nearly stuck out. My ribs nearly stuck out. And he said, there's some scars. They're that wide. And where there's welts. And when they healed, it left scars. And he said, at night, they draw. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, let me tell you. And he said, if I have the cloak, it's better. And he said, they almost, that time they beat me with rods, they almost killed me. Listen, let me tell you people, some of you have been through a great deal. But Paul, when they beat you with rods, you know what you're talking about when they beat you with rods? The Romans beat you with a rod? They would go out and they would cut what we call sprouts. Now in Missouri, they're blackjack sprouts. There are sprouts, trees, grow, and they grow out. And they will be several of these, or willows, that grow about this tall, or other sticks that grow about this big around, about this tall, and they would cut 7 of them, and they would dry them, and they would lay you down flat of your back, and a great Roman soldier would take 5 or 7 of these long rods, and he would beat you as hard as he could beat you. That's what it means. Christ, I was beat with rods, and they would almost kill you with those things. And he would say, they hurt me. My back draws. There was no linen. There wasn't any doctors.
No.
And there wasn't any Blue Shield. There wasn't any insurance.
No.
Oh, saints of God, you've got it made today.
Yes.
You have it made.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. If you get hungry, you can get groceries. Paul couldn't get an aspirin. He couldn't get an antacid. There was no doctor. Go ahead and die, Paul, for all that I did. No wonder he said, I bear in my body the marks of
Christ. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, Jesus.
I'll finish this up here in just a little while. I want to tell you something that I know to be a fact. You know, there is something about everybody that there is a mark, there's a characteristic about them. There is something that shows who they are. You can tell by the way they put their tie on. You can tell by the way they comb their hair. You can tell by the way a man walks, by the way a man talks. You can tell a lot about him. Of course you can. All right? They'll say in the shop, that guy's a good worker. And they'll say about another person that he's a very bad worker. Because there is something about you. She's a good worker, and she's a real good cook. Because they know. All right. And I'll give me about 15 more minutes here, and I'll wind this up. But there was a man up in Wisconsin. And I want to tell you about this morning, because it is a story that I've never heard another one like. I know that every one of you have wonderful tales to tell, stories to tell about getting saved and how God saved you. Up in Wisconsin, there was a man, the meanest man that lived that they knew about in Wisconsin. Near Milwaukee, I'm assuming it was. Brother L.R. Mitchell told me this. I knew Brother Mitchell real well. And he said his name was Omar Shepherd. There used to live a rough, tough man. No one could whip him. He was always in a fight. You ever see someone always in a fight? Like, you know, beat someone up? Well, Omar Shepherd was a drunkard. And he would only work, a young man. And he was big. And his shoulders were broad, about 6 feet tall, and built very strong. Big, strong arms, and nobody could whip him. He could whip anybody in the country. This is a true story. This is not one word made up. And always he was in a fight, and nearly he killed one or two men. And he was only worked long enough to get money to buy another quart of whiskey and get drunk. And he slept near the stockyards. He didn't even have a house. He was rough and tough, and his shoes was always worn, and he wore the same old jacket, and everyone in the city hated Omar Shepherd. He was the town drunk and the town bully, and he had beat up every man in every bar they could beat. And one time, the police officers, they wanted to kill him. The cops wanted to kill him, and they tried to kill him. And no friends. He had no friends. And he was not even, I don't guess, much over 30 years old, rather young. And good looking in a sort of a mean way. And one time in a bar brawl, he went in and was drinking. And he got in fight with the other toughest man from another city. They would, in those days, 20, 30 years ago, they would go from city to city to see who could be the toughest man. And this other tough came, and they fought in a bar for about 2 hours. They fought and tried to kill each other. And finally, it is true that Omar Shepherd, finally, long last, he got the other man down, and he started to pop his eyeballs out. And someone just before he did, this is true. I want you to get this. It's true. And someone walked up to him and dared to go up to him and patted him on the back and said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do that. You whipped him. Don't blind him." And he let him up. And everybody wanted to kill him. And the cops came. And about 8 or 9 cops, they surrounded him. And he whipped a whole bunch of the cops. They would take billy clubs and hit him in the head and couldn't knock him down. And he whipped them, but finally they beat him so with a billy club until he was bloody, and they finally did subdue him. Throw him in jail. Die for all that we care. We hope you do die. This man was one of the most hopeless of cases. And some way, he was drunk for days. I want you to get this. And he was drunk for days. One day in his little apartment that he got one. Just a little apartment at, and here was the door, and here was the steps that went straight down and over a drugstore, something like a drugstore, little chintzy little apartment place. And finally, after he was drunk for about 30 days, and one day he sobered up, and he tried to get out of bed, and he couldn't get out of bed. His strength was gone, and he was going to die. And he knew he was going to die. And his bed was soaked. And the whiskey bottles and the cigarette bottles and a mess. Nobody cared. Go on, die for all we care. We hope you do die, was the people's attitude. And he said, I knew I was going to die. And he tried to get up, but he couldn't get up. And finally, he started to wiggling. He thought, well, if I could turn off of the bed and roll off the bed, fall off and fall in the floor and get over to the door and roll down the steps, maybe I could. And so he did roll down the steps, and he did roll out in the street in that awful, awful mess. No shave, no haircut for a month, and the nastiest thing. And the cops came, and they said, don't even pick him up. We hope you do die. And he thought he would. But someone came along and helped him get to the hospital. And they put him in, and after several days, maybe weeks, he started to coming to himself and getting his mind back. And some way, he said, God, oh, there is a mark. You may have a spark of honesty. And some way from down under all that meanness, there was a spark of honesty. There was a little mark in there.
Yes.
And he said, God, I'm no good. He said, God, they ought to kill me. God, back there in the gutter where I rolled out of my apartment, you ought to let me die. But the Lord, he said that God spoke to him. And he said, God, I'm the worst thing that ever lived. I'd like to pray, but I don't know how to pray. And he said that God, when he began to talk to God, he said the Lord talked back to him. And he said, I'd like to have something. I'd like to change. And he said, God, is there anything you can give me that would help me? And he said, God gave him the Holy Ghost. He didn't know what it was. He said, but God gave me the Holy Ghost. And he got up, and he got well, and got out of the hospital. And there was a new man. And he didn't want to drink anymore. Some week, and he didn't want to fight anymore. He didn't want to beat anyone up anymore. He didn't want to smoke anymore. There's something, I don't want to do it. I can do it, but I don't want to do that anymore. And so he hunted and hunted. And he'd go in one church and out of another church. He'd say, this is not what I'm in. He didn't even know what he was. He didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. He didn't know what he was. He didn't know the word apostolic. He never heard anything, only a beer bottle and a fight and a brawl. That's all he ever knew. And he would go into this big church and say, no, that's not what I am. I don't feel. I know what I feel. But this is, I don't feel it here. And he walked into a little Pentecostal church in Wisconsin. And he walked in. And they was going like this. Hallelujah. And when he got in there, he felt the Holy Ghost in him. And he said, this is what I am. This is what I didn't know what it was. This is what I am. And they baptized him in Jesus' name. And Omar Shepherd went back to the city where they all hoped he would die. Now, after he was saved a year or two. And this time, when they saw Brother, this is a true story. Omar Shepherd would go back to the big city of Wisconsin. When they saw him this time, his shoes was polished. And he had on a white shirt. And he had on a pretty tie. And he had on a new suit. And his hair was combed. And he had a haircut. And they looked at him and they said, "It can't be Omar Shepherd. It can't be him." He went into the drugstore. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he had walked into one drugstore, Brother L.R. Mitchell told me, and he had said, "Oh, praise God. I don't drink this booze anymore." And the owner of the place would look at him and he said, they'd follow him around. And they'd say, "That's Omar Shepherd." He said, "Yes, it is. I know it. It can't be him. That's no good." And they would hear him, he'd say, "Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord." And he'd walk along, and pretty soon the attendants or the people that worked in there would come and say, "What happened to you?" And he said, "Well, I got the Holy Ghost." And he said, "I got baptized in Jesus' name." And they said, "Well, you're Omar Shepherd." "Yes," but he'd say, "This is not the old Omar. This is a new one. God saved me since you saw me." And the Lord began to talk to him. And he went down somewhere in the city, Elder Rutledge, and he bought a church building. God began to talk to him, "Well, why don't you preach? There's no church in this town. You beat everybody up. Why don't you preach to them? And they'll respect you." And he started to preach. And Brother Mitchell, that was the presbyter, he told me, he said, "I know him. I've been there." In 1 year, when he went and started preaching, and he was become a nice-looking man and well-behaved, and God began to teach him. There's marks that go. God can change your looks. God can change your complexion. God can change attitude. Praise the Lord. And he told me, it was in the United Pentecostal Church at the time, and he said, in all of the state of Wisconsin, he said, all the presbyters and all the preachers put together, he said, in 1 year, Omar Shepherd baptized more people in his one church than all the people in the state of Wisconsin did put together. Over 100 in 1 year. Oh, listen, God can change a mark. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. God can change you. Praise the Lord. He can change you from being a nobody to being somebody. You might be unloved, but God can make you loved. God can make someone to love you. God can change you. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you sort of a sad story now. I really should have told you about Omar Shepherd before I tell you this. But I saw this, and there was a man in Detroit, and I don't know his real name. I only know, I'm talking about marks. There are people that have certain marks about them. And there was this man, his name was, all I ever knew was Popeye. They call him Popeye Joe. And this is really true. They call him Popeye Joe. Now, I don't know his last name. I knew the man. I saw him for better part of 2 years. He was at Brother Lehman's church. I went there before we started our church in Utica, Michigan. I went to Brother Lehman's church for about a year. And one snowy night in Detroit, and it was cold and about way near zero, and the snow was deep. And Brother Lehman got a call, Brother Rutledge, and he said, "Oh, come and help me." He said, "I'm about to freeze to death." Or they called for this man, and they said, "He is freezing to death, and he's been drunk for days. And if you don't, someone doesn't come, he'll be dead before morning." And so Brother Lehman's a good man. And he went down and he hunted and hunted among the poor people in Detroit on the down near the railroad tracks without a house. And he said they found this man called Joe
and they call him Popeye Joe, because he had used drugs so much, and he had drank so much, that his eyes, I saw him when they cleaned him up, and I saw them when they put new clothes on him, and they gave him a job in the church. This really happened. And I saw him when he was trying to get well, and his eyes nearly popped off his head. He has gotten used drugs so much that his eyeballs nearly popped out. And so we prayed with him. I remember, and then the saints and Brother Lehman with the big church prayed for him, and he started getting well, and his eyes started to getting well, and he started to be a nice looking man, and he was doing good in the church. He had new clothes. They made him an apartment in the church, and they gave him a job in the church, and they paid him every Sunday night a good check. I knew. I went there. I saw him. And God took away the marks of sin and bad things, and the scars began to heal on his arms and ankles. You know where you. And oh, I've seen men. Well, not me so much, but I'm sure you. Did you ever see a person that used so many drugs that they would actually get some scars? Is there anyone know what I'm talking about? And there are people that their skin gets tough in some places where they go too much on injections. It really does. And they got well. And his eyes got well. And everybody loved to hear Brother Joe, no longer Popeye, just Brother Joe. And he would stand up and tell about having the Holy Ghost. I don't drink anymore. I don't have to sleep on the Bad Row Street down there in Detroit, Skid Row. And he said like this, God has done so much for me. And he had a new look.
Yes.
But one day, I hate to tell this part. I should have told this part an hour ago while I was preaching. But one day, his old buddies came by. And some way, there was still a mark in there that wanted to do it the old ways. And this Sunday night, he came to church early. And Joe had a different spirit. He was nervous and irritable. And he was walking around, and he paced the floor like a caged tiger, as we say. And he didn't act the same. And I wondered, out of the corner of my eye, sometimes you can tell. A pastor can read a little something different, a different mark, a different step. I don't know, Brother Wall, what it may be, but something different. And I watched something I caught from Brother Joe out of the corner of my eye. And I saw that he was nervous and twitchy. And then when our secretary, a wonderful woman that was the secretary of the church there, she came in. And she didn't even get in the office. It's half an hour more than that, maybe before church started, and Brother Lehman wasn't there yet. And I watched out of the corner of my eye, and Brother Joe just ran to the office. And he went in and just ran in there. And this wonderful sister, like some of you here, and he demanded his check. And I could hear it. And he grabbed the check. And I watched him as he shot off the door, and the steps went down, two flights of steps down and out on the street. And I watched Joe as he grabbed the check and down the steps and down those steps and out the door he ran, and someone had the car door open. And Joe headed for Chicago. There is a mark about people. Lord God, but walk with God. Oh, thank God. Don't let the old marks of sin come back on you. Did you ever see a person that was in so much sin that it left a mark on them? It can.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I would rather have the marks of Christ on me.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Paul said in closing, saints, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I would rather have the name of the Lord written all over me. In closing, we've been talking a lot about church history in the last few days that I've been here. I read something in history that I'll never forget till the day that I die.
there were people back in China and back in Asia who, on near China, they were called Manichaeans, and they would get the Holy Ghost and they loved the name of Jesus so much. And I read where it says that they would take the name of Jesus and tattoo it on their body. Now, we don't do that. Well, now, we have it written in our hearts. But they were baptized in Jesus' name, but they loved God so much that they would get the name of Jesus actually tattooed on their thigh, or get the name of Jesus tattooed on them. We don't do that today, but they bore in their bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you got the marks of the Holy Ghost. You got the marks of the love of God. Oh, no wonder Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. God bless you this morning. Elder Rutledge.